Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer Sports Radio 810 WHB. And what a show we have for you today. It might sound to you like I'm sitting in an echoey closet, which is kind of true, but it's at a very special place. We are at the Pinnacle Training Complex where Sporting Kansas City go about their business on a daily basis, but it was not business as usual today. A big news conference today as it was announced that contract extensions have been signed by Captain Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, Roger Espinoza, and Elie Sanchez. And we're going to spend a lot of the show today talking about that. We're going to hear from all four of those players. We're also going to have a sit-down conversation with Peter Vermees, the head coach and technical director who's responsible for putting that all together as well. And we're going to talk a little Sporting KC soccer in the process as well. So go ahead and buckle up. It's going to be a really fun hour on the Sporting KC show this week. Joining me, as always, is the one and only El Jefe Carter Augustine. Carter, how are you, man?
I don't think I'm as good as those four guys today.
You did not announce a contract extension today.
No. Still negotiating. As you know, it's a tough negotiating process with the club, but they are able to get it with those four guys, and maybe now they can focus on the most important one that they have to re-sign.
Yeah, they move up the ladder a little bit towards Carter Augustine. We'll see what happens. I'm for it for whatever that's worth. We'll talk about the contract extensions for those guys in a little bit. Look, it's really big news. It's something that sets this franchise apart from other franchises in MLS and other franchises in other sports as well. But we'll get to that in a moment. I do want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Sporting KC on the field right now. And it starts with a tough loss in Seattle, 3-1 at the Sounders. You were on the sideline for it. Tell me your takeaways from this one.
I share views with, I think, a few of the guys that talked after the game, Peter Vermees, Roger Espinoza, that I thought they played pretty well for the most part. There are times during the game where Seattle down that left flank were really dangerous and could hit pretty well on the counter, and they did that. And, you have to credit them. I think you have to credit Brad Smith especially for how well he played in that particular regard. But otherwise, I mean, the first half was pretty much all Sporting other than the goal from Seattle. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a shell shock to come out of the halftime break and give up those two goals. And I think that obviously set the tone for the rest of the game. But I don't think they'll be, going back and erasing everything from the chalkboard after this game and starting over by any means. I don't know what you think, but to me it seemed that they had plenty of opportunities. In the first half alone, you got the Icopara foray into the box, which was kind of, funny to watch unfold. But also, I mean, it was a great run into the box from him. And he did everything up into the final bit, and even then it was a decent attempt at a finish. It's a good save, but it goes through the goalie, and I was expecting it to end up in the back of the net after it takes a touch, but it goes just wide. And then Gerso in on goal as well, one-on-one with the keeper. So they had plenty of chances. There were more in the second half, just couldn't hit the back of the net. And so you have to credit Seattle, because in the end they only conceded the one goal. And with that in mind, it was going to be tough for Sporting to get all 3 points. But I thought, the performance was good enough for a point.
Yeah, listening to the interviews you conducted with Peter and some of the players after the game, this seemed to me a clear-cut case of focusing on the process instead of the result. Sometimes you can just focus on the result, and it's kind of like the old adage that just because a shot went in doesn't make it a good shot. Just because you missed a shot doesn't make it a bad shot. If you focus on the way they approach the game, I do think that there's some things they would do differently on the first goal that they conceded. As you said, Brad Smith with some great work down the left-hand side. We had to go back and watch it because Matt Lawrence and I were looking at it at the time going, how did he end up in that much space? Yeah. I think some credit needs to be given to one of the best players in MLS for a long, long time, Ozzie Alonso. He got the better of Graham Zusi. I think he head faked him a little bit. Zusi started to kind of bite inside, thinking that's where the pass was going to go. Alonzo sent a perfect ball out wide instead to Smith. And since Zusi had kind of tucked in, anticipating a different pass, that left a lot of space there. It's a rare mistake. You don't say that very often for Graham Zusi in a situation like that. And that just kind of let the chain of events unfold from there. But outside of that, as you said, I think the process showed that Sporting Kansas City was every bit the match for Seattle. And I think most people would say, even maybe the better team on the field. Seattle's an interesting team to try to make heads or tails of right now. Look, they've won 8 games in a row, and I went back and really tried to study it going into the game. How have they won these 7 games in a row? And I think first and foremost, defense. They've been able to frustrate opponents. They were able to frustrate Sporting. The chances were there, but they couldn't put them away in this game. But then they've also just, if it's nicking a goal on a set piece, getting the benefit of an own goal, they've had 3 penalties during this stretch. I think it takes too much credit away from them to say lucky, but they've just been able to kind of find a way to get enough offense while playing great defense during this stretch, and that's how they've won 8 in a row. And I'll be interested to see if they can sustain that as they have the last couple of years all the way to the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely do it through defense, and you saw it in the game. Like you said, Alonzo had a good game. Him and Svensson in front of that back four is a really solid solid foundation to try and get results from. And talking to this SKC coaching staff before the game, they talked about how solid they are through the center, and it's because Alonzo and Svensson, they don't really make runs forward all that often. Mm-hmm. And you're right, they know how to nick a goal here and there, and that's what they built it on. So yeah, I think they stuck to that recipe, Seattle, and we'll see if they can maintain that into the playoffs. I do agree with you that, or I don't know if you said that, but I think that it may be tough to keep that going. For me, for Sporting's end, I don't know, 2 things I think that really were illustrated. One is what Roger Espinoza said. Yeah, we played well, but you got to score. And so it's something that they've done well this season. And so they'll just move on to the next one, and he, I liked him saying that after the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played well, but we got a score to get a result, and so that's something to take away. The other thing I take away is they need a home playoff game, because a game like this, little things go here, mm-hmm. little things go there, and I think this just further exemplifies that. You know, a game like that, if it's at home, maybe the ball bounces a little differently in the end.
Yeah, you're much more likely to catch those breaks in home than you are on the road, and there's no doubt about that. And it goes back to it. We remember the game in the playoffs in Seattle just a couple of years ago, and how that one played out. Sporting are still in great position to try to get that home playoff game, if not a first round bye altogether. But they are in third place now, because the rest of the results in the Western Conference did not go Sporting Kansas City's way over the weekend. LAFC and FC Dallas both got big victories. Look, there's 8 games to go. It's very narrow. Sporting do have a game in hand on both of those teams that they're chasing in the Western Conference, and they play both of those teams as well. So get ready, by the way. The last 8 games are going to be incredible, and we'll talk about that game that's coming up on Saturday against Orlando. Orlando is a woebegone team right now, but it's still a team I think you got to really take seriously for a lot of different factors that we'll get into in the last segment of this show when we preview that game. So stay tuned for that. Now let's get to the news of the day. I'm just curious your reaction to the news. 4 big names being signed to contract extensions here today.
I mean, in the Sporting KC world, tough to be anything but ecstatic, I think. You've got 3 guys that have been here for a long time and have really been key contributors to the turnaround of this club, and are playing really well as well. And as you will hear, or maybe heard in the press conference today, they feel like they're still in the prime of their careers and have a lot to give. And then Ilya Sanchez has come in and just fit right in, and he's been so crucial to the way that this team plays now. And so, yeah, I think you have to be ecstatic. For me, it just kind of it reminds me, this team is reminding me of the San Antonio Spurs a little bit. You know, you've got a mastermind as your coach and well-respected throughout the league, and then they're doing a job to keep the key players around, and it seems like the key players around, like a Ginobili, Parker Duncan, they really keep up the culture of the club, and it allows players that come in like Ilya to adapt and to be welcomed in and to understand that culture and continue it on. And to be able to re-sign them, I think, is, you know, great moving forward. I just don't see how you could see this as anything but exciting for the future.
Yeah, certainly incredibly exciting, I think, for the fans, for the city, for the franchise. And one different angle I'll take on it from maybe what we've heard so far, I think this says something massive about the four players involved. Because we know one thing, and Peter Vermes does not get sentimentally attached. He will move players on. He will make changes. And regardless of how that's going to be met by the fan base, he'll do what he thinks is in the best interest long-term for the franchise to win games. Maybe not so coincidentally, Dom Dwyer is coming back to town this coming weekend with Orlando City. Peter Vermes has decided that these four guys need to be signed to long-term contract extensions. That says a lot about what he thinks of them, because he wouldn't do this for PR purposes. He does this because he believes that's the best move for the franchise going forward.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And it's a credit to all those guys as well, just to be able to maintain that level of play and also that level of trust from Peter Vermes throughout their career here. And I'm curious maybe if they had opportunities or were looking elsewhere or not, and I don't know if we'll ever find that out, but I agree with you. I think that does say a lot about those guys and what Peter Vermes thinks of them.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll find out what Peter has to say about all that, because he's going to sit down with us next. This is a special edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show from the Pinnacle Training Complex on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Another special edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Buchady along with Carter Augustine. We're doing this one from the Pinnacle Complex because there was another big news conference today, and that was the news conference announcing the contract extensions of four of the key players for Sporting Kansas City: Ilya, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, and Roger Espinoza. We're going to play an interview that I did with those four players here in a little bit, but right now we're going to talk to the architect of the whole thing, the head coach and technical director for Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermes. Peter, first of all, congratulations on the news. I imagine this has been something that's been in the works for some time now.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. It has been. We started very early on in the beginning of the season. We've been working towards this, and none of it was really all that difficult at the end of the day. What it really was is that we're in the midst of the season, and that's kind of why it's taken up until now to eventually get it all done. And because we were working on all four guys at the same time, we just felt that at some point we'll just do it all together to make it, I guess, easy on everybody.
Okay, I want to ask you to put both hats on individually here, and I'll start with the technical director job first. Part of the technical director's job is assembling a roster, right, and knowing what kind of players you're going to have. So from a technical director's standpoint, what does this do for you, and how nice is it to know that you got four key players like this that are going to be in the fold for a while?
Yeah, one of the big things for us is that knowing full well that next year we're in Champions League, we wanted to be sure that our roster going into the start of preseason next year, that we're going to have as many guys on our roster here in town starting, you know, the year off with us at that point, because our games are going to be either like the 19th, 20th, 21st, and then the 26th, 27th, 28th. We're going to play those in February, and we're going to have to, you know, hit the ground running really quickly. So that from a competitive perspective, that was very important. On the other side of it is, you know, these are let's just talk about Roger, Zeus, and Bees for just a second. Those guys have been here for a long time. They've helped build the club, build the culture. They've helped win championships, and they still have a lot to give in their abilities. And so, it only made sense for us to try to continue to move forward with them and try to sign them to multi-year deals, because we feel that they have years left in them to continue to keep competing and help us still to achieve the goals that we have coming down the future. And then finally, Ilya is a player we saw a long time ago, unable to get him. We got him. And he had a great year last year, and he's been the same way this year. He's been very consistent, fits into our team really well, our model of play. And because of that, it was very important for us to make sure that we also, you know, did a new contract with him going forward. So that was really, really important.
Okay, let's go from the head coaching side of things then as well. Knowing you're going to have four guys like this in the fold, that's got to make make life a little bit better from that standpoint as well.
It does. No, again, being from the coach's perspective, again, you look at the team and you look at how you want to play. Mm-hmm. These are all players that have a very, very good understanding of our model of play, how we want to play. You need to be brave and courageous at times in the way that we play, because it's not easy to keep the ball against teams, especially when you're building out of the back like we do. And our style is maybe a little unique to a lot of teams in our league. And so just going out now and getting four new guys and getting them adapted, adjusted, acclimated to who we are and help us to continue down this road also would have been a little bit of a difficult task. The other side of it is we have some young guys coming in. And who better to have to help mentor those guys on the field than some of the guys that have been around the longest and have helped us win over the years? I can't think of four better guys. So it's it kind of helps on both fronts.
I want to talk about the culture that you've talked about and Ilya talked about in the press conference as well, being welcomed in so quickly. And these three guys specifically, what would you define the culture, or what would you hope to define it as? And then how have those three guys over their length of their career that they've been here contributed to that?
Well, I think the first thing is that, look, we have four core values that we stick by. The first is that the team is always first. It's not about any individual on the team. The second is you have to have intelligence for the game. You have to be able to take things that we work on the training field, apply it to the game. It's more of your soccer IQ. And then the third is work ethic. You know, we have to have a group of guys that understand that to be successful, you have to outwork your opponent. To be able to outwork your opponent, you have to train extremely hard. You have to go beyond your limits. And the final piece is you have to have a winning mentality, which is really pursuing excellence in everything that you do. And those are the kind of guys that we search for. At the same time, it's an environment that we protect and defend every day, because it's something that can go away very quickly if you don't do those things. And so I think the guys appreciate the fact that when they are in it and they are a part of it, they realize it's what they want to be around if they're going to be in this business. And so I think, you know, and I'm not speaking for them, but at least I have, you know, I think I have a pretty good relationship with each and every one of those guys. I think that it was an easy decision for them, because this is the kind of environment that they feel not only that they can have success in, but also it's a place where they feel comfortable, where they know that they can reach their best, and that will help them attain their best as well. And I think it's a win-win for everybody.
So let's go to the three guys that have been here for the long period of time. We've kind of separated them from Ilya. Roger, Matt, and Graham, you've been a part of their whole careers here. With those four principles that you just talked about, did you way back then see that in those three guys? Like, these guys have all of those things and they could be here a long time, or has it just evolved that way since they've been here?
I think it's a good question, and I would really make the example like this. You know, there's a lot of players that we go out and recruit from the outside and bring in. Mm-hmm. And when they come in, you know, you always try to line up the core values with them, and you look. And a lot of times, there's a lot of players that come in here, I've never won before. But then all of a sudden, they do. And I think the reason why is because winning it's not just about winning. I believe that the byproduct is winning, right? If you have a professional environment, if you have a culture, if you have a set of expectations and objectives that you're constantly trying to pursue, if you have a standard that you expect everybody to live up to every day, and then you understand that you have a responsibility and accountability and all of that, I think over time you can learn some of those things if you don't have one of the four or two of the four. But what you have to have is you have to have the ambition for all of them. It's really, really hard to take guys that are individuals and get them to function now all of a sudden in a team environment on a regular basis, in their attitude and everything that they go about in their everyday lives. But for a while, they can fake it. And as long as they're doing it within the team concept and everything that we're doing, great. But once they get out of that world, they wind up, their shelf life ends pretty quickly, and they move on.
Sticking with those three guys, obviously this league has some unique rules, not only in soccer, but in North American sports. Free agencies, I think, developing an ongoing development. Did that throw any hitches in negotiating with these three guys as they could have been maybe free agents at the end of the year?
Not really. And the reason being is because the designation of where those guys have been in the past as being DPs, we actually had, we had the control in this situation. But we never used that in the negotiations or any of this stuff. We didn't feel it was necessary. There are things that we probably could have done if we wanted to, which would have been more to the advantage of the club. But we chose not to do that, and there was no reason to, because we've had a very good relationship for all of these years. Why would we at this point now all of a sudden try to jeopardize that or in any way, shape, or form damage that when these guys have been great professionals to the club, great stewards, and so we want them to continue on with us, and at the same time we hope that we'll have a relationship with those guys when someday they do decide to hang it up. And they'll always be a part of the club.
On that same note, you mentioned that you guys didn't have to do anything with Elie just yet, but it was pretty clear the value that he brings to the table. He's played every single minute except for one game of all competitions since he's been here. That maybe illustrates how valuable he's been to the team. But you said when you have a player that outperforms his contract, you want to make sure that you take care of him. Why is that important to you? And maybe does that send a message to other players as well, that if you come here, you do the job, you'll be taken care of?
Well, because, maybe it's a little closer to home. When I was a player, I felt that during my time, it was a completely different time than it is today. Same kind of monies weren't in the game, and so I had to fight and scrap for everything that I ever got. And I remember when I was doing one of my contracts in Major League Soccer, I had asked for a certain salary, and I was told that there was absolutely no way that I even get close to that. And so I went to the other side and I said, okay, you don't want to give me that, then we're going to do it in a bonus structure. And the person came back to me and said, well, we're not going to do that either. I said, well, hold on a second. So what you're telling me is that no matter how good I am, you're not willing to pay me for how well I do. And so at the end, like I kind of convinced them on the bonus side, because if I'm doing that well, why wouldn't you be paying that money, right? So what I would tell you is that the bonuses, though, that I had in my contract to obviously, up the monetary side of that, the bonuses and there were very difficult things to achieve, really difficult things to achieve. And I did. And I remember thinking to myself that, I've never thought about this club in any way than this. I've always wanted the technical side, the club itself, to be a place where if I was a player, would I want to be here? And if I think that way, then it only makes sense that whether it's on the field or whether it's off the field, it has to do with your contract, whatever it might be, that I think we have an obligation as an organization to do it the right way. Doesn't mean that we're always going to be successful at it or perfect with it, but I do think that it's important that when people do well, that you reward them, because I also think that they then repay you in kind later on down the road with not just their play, but also an allegiance to the organization, and they start doing things that you don't even ask for anymore because they feel obligated to, because they know that the club has done many things for them that they didn't have to either. And I think that goes hand in hand. And so that's probably the biggest reason for that philosophy.
Well, we're seeing it here today. It's a big day for the club and the organization and for the city and the fans to see these four players get signed to contract extensions. Peter, thanks so much for the time. Congratulations.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's Peter Vermees. Carter and I will be back. We're going to have that conversation with the four players who just announced their contract extensions today as the Sporting Kansas City Show continues right after this. All right, back at the Pinnacle Training Complex, where Sporting Kansas City had a big announcement today of the contract extensions of Elie, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, and Roger Espinoza. Nate Bucati, along with Carter Augustine, with you. Our thanks to Peter Vermees for joining us on the show. Now I want to play you a sit-down roundtable conversation I had with the four players about this news today and about the contract extensions, as we will step aside and let you listen to that conversation right now.
It's a special time for the fans, guys. I don't know how much you think about that from your perspective, and maybe I'll start with you, Matt, and go down the line just in terms of what maybe excites you the most about the idea of knowing that not only are you going to be here, but with a group of guys that you've already accomplished so much with.
Yeah, it doesn't really change a whole lot with my approach. My approach is going to stay the same, and business as usual. I love, you know, taking the field every Saturday night at Children's Mercy Park, and love playing with all my teammates, especially these three guys sitting next to me. They make me better. I really enjoy, you know, being on the field with them, and they push me every single day to you know, make me a better player. So it's an honor to, you know, share the field with them, and I'm looking forward to, like you said, the future and getting to play many more games with these guys.
Elie, what about you?
I think a fair thing to say right now is that I'm not yet at their level, as you said, as a legend of this club. This is my second season with them, and I'm so proud to be here right now with them. Just announcing that we are going to be here for many more years, so makes me proud that, and makes me proud because I think that this is the right place to be. And that's what I thought when I decided to just extend my contract.
How about you, Graham?
Yeah, I'm excited for what the future has to come, and even more so that I get to do it with these guys here. I fell in love with Kansas City pretty early on, and I fell in love with the city, fell in love with the fans, and that hasn't changed at all. So, yeah, I'm really excited to have a few more years here in Kansas City, and I think I've said it before, I couldn't see myself anywhere else but here.
Roger?
You know, when I came back in 2015, you know, there was no other club I wanted to be at. I knew I was going to come back here, and for me to continue at this club is a privilege, I would say, you know. You can see the facilities, the environment, the culture that after I left and came back, there's still Beisler and Zeus kept in the club and still continuing to be that. And, you know, I see a lot of important things coming in this club, and it's one of the main reasons why I want to continue in my career here. And, you know, what a better place.
So, Matt, each one of you guys, by the way, has a bit of a different story to tell, as you kind of alluded to just now. I want to explore that a little bit more. Matt, for you, born and raised here. I mean, this is the town that you grew up watching the Wizards when you were a kid. Do you have to pinch yourself at all to think about the fact that you've played in this uniform, and not only do you get to play in your hometown, but you guys have had the type of success that you have over that string of time, with hopefully more to come?
You know, I haven't ever thought about it like that. One day I hopefully will, when I'm done playing and when I'm old and nobody cares about me anymore. But right now I'm just focused on what's in front of me. I've always had that approach, and like I said, it's not going to change with this announcement. But you know, I've just tried to do whatever I can to help the team. Tried to win as many games as possible, and you know, it's just like Roger said, it's a privilege to be here. You know, I feel like looking back to where we started and where we are now, We've built something really special, and I think all of us feel a part of that. And so from that perspective, it feels good to know that, you know, you played a very small part in creating something special for the fans and for Kansas City. But we're still creating it. We're still building on, you know, what started a long time ago and what many people have put time and effort into. And we want to, you know, push it as high as we can, so that whenever we do leave and we're done playing, you know, it's in a much better place, a higher place than where we first entered, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly does. Ilya, you referenced that it's only your second season here, but it seems like you just hit the ground running with this organization and the fit was there. I remember talking to you when you first got here, though, that it wasn't really the city that you were concerned with. You were concerned with the soccer and being in an organization where it fit. I'm curious, in this time, how has your relationship with the city grown, and why is the fit so perfect for you here in Kansas City out of all the places you could have been in the world?
As I told you, I think that I told you then when I first came here, and it's the same. They have been doing the same things for many years. So I just had to maybe be smart and know what they have been doing for all these years and try to fit as just one more player. So if you ask me a part of the soccer thing, the city is so easy. It's a friendly city. It's a city where everywhere you can go, people just have nice words for you. Even they are not agree with your performance or the team performance, they just have the right word and the good word for you. So that makes you feel home. And obviously I'm here to play soccer, to enjoy doing my job, but if you ask me about the city, I just can't say that I feel home here. So we are here and we are happy to be here, but what we are doing right now is just a happy thing. So we will be the same guys, we will keep doing the same things, on the field and off the field, and that's what we want to keep doing.
Okay, everybody's using the word home. Graham, I know you've used it before too, but and this is the only uniform you've worn for a professional team. We all know the story, you and Matt, you know, coming out of the same draft class, living in the basement, all that stuff. How did it become home? Do you really remember, like, how Kansas City, or why this became kind of home to you?
Not really. I can't really pinpoint a moment in time where that occurred, but it's just a feeling you have over time. And yes, of course, my origins are in Orlando, Florida, but now this has become home. I'm here probably 11 and a half months out of the year, and I've like I said before, I've grown to just love everything about this city. And Ilya alluded to the people, and I couldn't agree more. So yeah, it's just a feeling you have, and I don't see that changing.
Roger, you said when you left, you always knew that if you were going to come back to MLS, this is where you wanted to be. Does that give you a different perspective, having gone somewhere else, played somewhere else? It's one thing to always be home. It's another thing to leave and come back. What kind of a perspective does that give you on things?
Yeah, I mean, you get to see what's out there, and you figure out that stuff. It's not better. You know that the culture you have here, that you built here with the guys. You know the mentalities the guys that have here, and you know over there is different. It's some clubs, you get to see teammates playing other clubs and from other MLS clubs, and even when I played in England, which was a great club too. But this is the place that I learned to love coming into the Wizards at the time, and I knew that I was wanting to come back, but my dream was to play in the Premier League one day. Now coming back, you know, knowing that, hey, Kansas City is the place that I know that wants to be successful. I know guys that want to work hard. I know guys that were there from the early years, which is Beasley, Zuzi, Seth, that have been here in the past, and we won the first championship in 2012. So I knew that was what I wanted to be and wanted to build, because I know those guys want to fight and want to win more. And it's one of the reasons why I want to come back.
We got to get you an MLS Cup, though.
Yeah, right? That's why I'm here.
Right. Well, let's focus on that, Matt, because you and I know the story about you watching that on the bus, right?
Yep.
Yeah. In Wigan, right?
Yep.
So both questions I've asked you so far, Matt, you've really not wanted to talk about the past. You want to focus on what's in front. And I'm sure let's finish with that for everybody. You guys already have accomplished so much, but tell me about the motivation. I guess I'll go with each of you guys individually here of what comes next, and how do you guys continue to chase things? And I'll start with you on that regard, Matt. Like, what do you envision for this team as you guys now know you're going to be here for the next couple of years?
Winning as many trophies as we can. I think we owe it to the ownership group and everybody that's involved in the team, and we owe it to our fans in the city to do everything possible. I think all of us have tasted it a little bit with last year's Open Cup, and we know what it feels like. Winning is fun, and it's fun to bring trophies to the team and to let other people share those trophies, like the fans and the rest of the city. And so it's almost addicting, it's contagious, and you know, we want to try and win as many things as possible. So I think that's our goal every single year. I think that we have a great group, to be able to do that. Certain things have to go your way each year, but I think that we can set ourselves up in a position where we have a chance to win every single year. And as a player, I mean, that's really all you can ask for, is you want to be involved in a team that has a chance to win. That's why we play the game. And so, you know, for me, that's why it's been so enjoyable the last 10 seasons, is because every single season that I've entered and every team that I've been on, I've felt that. And now I feel it more than ever. I love the group that we have. I love these guys, you know, sitting next to me right now. And hopefully we're able to provide, you know, what I talked about for years to come.
Ilya, I'm guessing the fit could be fine and they could play the right system and all that, but if the team wasn't good enough to go out and win, you might not feel the same way. That's got to be a huge component for this for you, right?
Sure. We live and we move by feelings. And we can talk about the city. It's a green city with great areas to make life, but at the end, we do things because our feelings. And I learned here how to win. And this is because, again, they were winning before me, and when I came here, I could learn not how to do it, but I could achieve it. So the future, we are focused on finishing the top place to be able to have a good position in the playoffs, and that's our unique goal. So I know that we are going to be here for many years, but we are just thinking about 2018, and that's our main goal.
Yeah. Graham, you've done a lot of winning, basically through your entire college, all that stuff, to this point. As you look at this group, now that you know these guys, you're all gonna be going forward. How optimistic does that make you feel that, you know, you have a group of guys that are capable of winning going on into the future?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think what Matt said is so true. Is we've been put in a position every year to be successful. It's a testament to really so many people. It's ownership group, coaches, front office staff. I mean, go down the list, and then the team that you have around you as well. We feel really good about the group that we have. we're in a great position to accomplish at least some of our goals, if not all of them. And listen, I can't really say anything else that the first two guys said, but yeah, we're ready to kind of get things going. You know, this part of it isn't what really any of us are very comfortable with. We want to be out there playing and trying to win trophies.
Roger, can you put into perspective how difficult it is to stay good for a long stretch in any league, let alone a league like MLS, the way you guys have done?
It is very difficult. I would say, no, it's not easy to win. But I would say that, you know, in our club here at Sporting, every year you come, the expectation is to win. You always have that. And I think, you know, every year, doesn't matter what year it is, it doesn't go well some years. But you love that coming at the beginning of the year, that the expectation is to winning every tournament that comes with it. And as a player, you want to win. You want to do that. You want to play every tournament, even friendlies, you want to win them. And as a team, you know, everybody's expectations are the same. Everybody wants to win. And, you know, and that's the vision everybody has for the future. And this is why we are here. And, you know, it's great what we're going on. And eventually, you know, it's going to come and we're going to win more championships, I believe, just because the expectations that, you know, from Bruce, who is the youngest guy on the team right now, to the oldest guy, you know, they know that what we have to do and what we have to come every day and try to accomplish. So, it's what I see in the future and why I'm here.
We're not going to name the oldest guy on the team. That's what I'm
saying. That was nice.
Is that Tim? Me right now? Tim.
No, Brad.
Oh, yeah. Brad. Yeah. Sorry.
We don't need to name names when it comes to that. Hey, guys, in all sincerity, I think on behalf of all of Sporting Kansas City Nation, we're incredibly excited about this news, and we can't wait to see what else you guys have in store for us. So thanks a lot for the time.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you.
So there you hear it from Elie Sanchez, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, Roger Espinoza, all signing their contracts extensions here today. A big day for the franchise Sporting Kansas City. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Carter and I will look ahead to a reunion of a couple of Sporting KC players coming back to Children's Mercy Park, as it is another big game for Sporting KC on Saturday. They'll be taking on Orlando City. That's right after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show. All right, we're back to wrap things up on this special edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show from the Pinnacle Training Complex, where we had the big news today, the contract extensions for Elie, Matt Beisler, Graham Zusi, and Roger Espinoza. We got to hear from those four guys. Now it's time to look forward. And this is an interesting one coming up, Carter Augustine. Orlando City, they're in 10th place in the Eastern Conference. They have been leaking goals all year long, but all of a sudden they've got an informed Dom Dwyer who scored 4 goals in his last 5 games. They brought in some reinforcements defensively, and Ori Rizal as well, coming back to Kansas City. First and foremost, I just want to ask you, what do you think the reception will be like for Dom Dwyer when he comes back to Children's Mercy Park?
I think he's going to get applause. I think he's a huge fan favorite here. So, you know, I think there's still a lot of fans that are sad that he left as well. So I don't know. What do you think? I feel like he's going to get a rousing ovation.
I certainly think he deserves it. Look, he was part of a team that won a couple of trophies. Yes, he was traded away. But I do think that, you know, there's a little bit that adds to the narrative that it seemed pretty clear that he wasn't going to sign long term here. And I'm not going to say he forced the team's hand on a trade, but whatever the one step short of forcing the team's hand is, I think is where it was. I think at the time, Sporting fans were incredibly upset about the trade. And now, a year later, looking where Orlando City has been and looking what Sporting Kansas City has been able to do with the money that they got for Dom Dwyer, you know, bringing in the likes of Felipe Gutierrez, Johnny Russell, and Johan Quaze, and bringing back Christian Namath now, I think you'd be hard-pressed to make a case that Peter Vermes didn't absolutely nail it with that trade. But I do think he deserves a warm welcome. You know, he was a part of a trophy winning franchise here in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think he deserved it too. And how many goals did he score for this club, right? And I also think, you know, he, like you said, he didn't really come out and publicly force a trade. That's when you get, I think, fans that start to turn opinion. But I don't think that his, you know, running the contract down or whatever and moving away, I don't feel like that will hurt him in the eyes of many fans. So, yeah, I think he deserves a good ovation, and I think he'll receive one.
And Uri Rizel, part of that 2013 team as well. I'll be interested to see, you know, what the playing time looks like if he's involved in the 11 in this game.
Yeah, it's been a kind of a weird year for him, hasn't it? And so, yeah, hopefully he can be involved. He was such a good player for this team and such a key player in that MLS Cup run. Obviously got hurt in the final, which was too bad for him, but he was a big part of why they were there. So I would expect him to get a nice ovation as well. And his, when he came back to the league, it was more along the lines of Sporting already had Ilya Sanchez now in that role, so it wasn't really a spot for him to be able to come back. And so I don't think there will be much animosity towards him either. That he Sporting made a lot of money on him, moving him on, and I think he'll be well received as well.
Certainly, I think he was a fan favorite for sure, and I think that maybe the story of Uri Rizel is another one that we kind of goes back to what we talked about with these four players that signed their extensions, that there's a fit, you know, and Peter Vermes has an idea of how the players are going to fit in the system here. That's what Ilya talked a lot about in terms of his desire to stay here. Look, Ilya is, it's, to me, is like a slightly better version of Uri Rizel for this team. And so, and I think there's a specific role for that number six in this system. And I think those players kind of flourish in a place like this.
And what I would say, I would agree with you, there is a specific role. And I think that role changed. And Uri Rizel was the man that was there for the change. And so we've seen the style of play that that this team has played. Obviously, they play the same formation, but keeping the ball much better. That started with Uri Rizel, and it was a vision that Peter and Kerry had for the team. And he was kind of the guy that really kick-started it. And then I agree with you. I think Ilya has come in and just kind of upped it a notch. And but it was a good example from a high standard that he set in coming in and playing that position.
Yeah, that was the evolution of Sporting Kansas City from the knockdown, rock'em, sock'em, drag-out type team that was high-pressing everybody, but maybe not as concerned with knocking the ball around. And that transition started with Uri, and it's taken another step. Certainly well said there. All right, what about this matchup itself? Sporting have to have their eyes on Dom Dwyer in this game. As I said, he's in good goal-scoring form. Goals in four of the last five games, and you know he's going to be up for this one coming back to Kansas City.
Man, I just if I was a betting man, or if I could bet on MLS, I would say I would probably bet on Dom Dwyer to score. He just seems like that type of guy. He's going to have that in the back of his mind, and there's something about playing your former club, especially as a striker, that they always seem to pop up with goals. And I think with him, it's even like a 2x likelihood just because of the type of player he is. I agree, they'll have their eyes on him. For me, it's just normally you would think this Orlando team's so bad on the road and just so leaky in defense as well. They're going to come in and Sporting's going to really manhandle them. But with all the absences, it's going to really cause some problems, I think, for Sporting this weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about those absences. That's, I think, the biggest storyline of this game outside of Dom coming back to Kansas City. You're going to be without Diego Rubio, who's been a terrific goal-scoring form. Continued that this past weekend with a goal. Johnny Russell is out. Daniel Shallowy is out. That's your front three. On Peter Vermes' first choice, that's the starting front three. And then, of course, Jalen Lindsay. You lose a little bit of depth there as he goes off with the U-20s. So let's talk about it. What are we going to see up top? Are we going to see Christian Namath up top? Will we see Johan Quaze up there? I think Gerso is clearly in a spot to start as well. But I do look at it and see a couple of guys maybe are itching for the opportunity to get out there and prove what they can do.
Yeah, and the other one that is going to be gone is Aiko Parra, not through international, but through suspension. So you're missing possibly four starters there. And as you mentioned, the depth of having Jalen Lindsay. It's gonna be interesting to see who goes up top. I'm with you. I think Gerso kind of slots in. You figure that he's gonna start. You would figure that Namath's in line to get a start as well. Just he's come on in each of the games since he's been here. But you know who's he gonna fit in that third role? Does Quaze go into the midfield? Probably not. Maybe he'll pop up top. I'm really curious to see. And then bring up a good point. some of these guys haven't been maybe starting the games that they would have wanted, and so it could be an opportunity for them while some of the other guys are away to get back into Peter Vermes's mind a little bit more.
Yeah, I always think guys like that are dangerous. You know, guys that have been looking for their minutes, guys that have been playing fairly well.
Got some construction.
Just to make sure our listeners don't think that that's a case of flatulence or anything like that. There's apparently some construction going on in the wall behind us right now. But yes, for Johan Kwaze and for Christian Nambeth, I think two guys that are eager for some minutes. Now, you mentioned, you make a great point about Iko Parra being out as well, which is, you know, could we see Andre Ufantas for the first time? They've spent good money to bring him in, but he's only had a little bit of time to get acclimated, and he could be one of the guys charged with trying to slow down Dom Dwyer on Saturday night.
Yeah, that'd be a tough first game for him, I think, to come in against Dom Dwyer and fired up Dom Dwyer as well. I'm very curious to see who plays at center back. We've seen Graham Smith get a start this year. I think Brad Evans would be more in the discussion if he hadn't been, you know, injured these past couple of weeks, still coming back to full match fitness. I think that's a tough call to put him in there. So we'll see. You know, it's the old thing. You never see two left-footed center backs. When they signed Fontas, Vermes made a point to say there's no rule against having two left-footed center backs playing. You know, there's no reason why you can't do it. It's the same as playing two right-footed center backs. It's just, you know, there just aren't as many left-footed guys. So when you play center back and you're left-footed, you usually play the left side of the defense, and you play the left side, and that's where you play. And then because there's just so many more right-footed players, you're playing on the left and the guy's playing on the right. So I just don't think there are many guys that are left-footed that grow up and play a whole lot on the right side of the center back partnership. So if that does come to be, I'm curious which one of these left-footed guys would play a nice spot. Would they slide Bees over? I think they'd be more likely to put Fontas at right center back, but I don't know about you. I'm really curious to see if that is the case. You know, how many times has there been two left-footed center backs that have started together?
This seems very rare. My guess would be you'd rather disrupt one position as opposed to two. But we're going to see on Saturday. It's going to be really interesting, and it's a big game because all the points matter right now, especially these home games. So even though it's not against a Western Conference opponent, you just got to look at points right now and pick up all that you can. So we'll see if Sporting Kansas City can get it done. Saturday night, 7:30, you can watch it on Fox Sports Kansas City, the Fox Sports Go app, and you can listen on Sports Radio 810 WHB. For Peter Vermes, for Carter Augustine, and the four guys that signed their big contracts today, this is Nate Bucchetti saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Sporting Kansas City Show.